Being brave is not running away from myself. And that ultimately was the breaking point for me. And now what I understand, like when I talk to people and it's so hard for them to take that first step, like I know how hard it is because I was that person.
Welcome, welcome to the Brave Table, everyone. I am your host, Dr. Neetha Bhushan. And if this is your first time tuning in, you are in for a treat. I'm so excited to actually sit down with someone that I just recently got to know who I am fangirling her like anything. I mean, this episode is for you if you've ever had any sort of money trauma, if you have maybe experience something that is mystical, something that is maybe calling a different version or a different level of yourself. Maybe you are one to go from starting a business, but becoming a soulful entrepreneur. We are going to break all of that down and so much more. Melissa Ruiz has had such a profound career. She is the founder and visionary of Melissa Ruiz Empowerment, as well as a registered yoga teacher, mindset expert, and online soulpreneur business coach. After working as an MTV TV producer for 13 years, she left her local New York life behind to pursue her true passion and purpose, quitting a six-figure job, getting a divorce, and now she mentors the mystical, offbeat, sometimes crazy entrepreneurs to start and scale their businesses through spiritually universal lenses. I am so excited to bring her on today because you are going to get a glimpse of how to come into your own, your truest self. We are going to talk about Melissa's journey into her LGBTQ community, and we get into so much more. So without further ado, let's bring on the Melissa Ruiz on the Brave Table this week. Hey, love. Want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on the Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free, and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on money blocks, Karen Rockland on speaking your truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on women's health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neetha, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, BHUSHAN.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show. Well, 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 Melissa.
First, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. I'm super excited to just drop in and allow spirit to unfold through both of us. And yeah, let's get into it because I want to share a lot about poverty consciousness codes. That's a big thing that I really, really want to bring forth. Yeah. New earth leadership and entrepreneurship. And yeah, just a little bit more about my story and how I even got on this crazy ass train.
This was a crazy, crazy train. Now, yeah. You and I have a very common friend that we love and adore, sister Allison Charles. And I feel like that's kind of how we got acquainted. And just before we hit live, you shared how you took her job.
Allison, you know the story. Yeah.
At MTV or wherever you guys were, but you were an MTV show producer for 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years. That's insane. So let's start there.
Yeah.
Because I want to know how you go from corporate reins and now you're flying high.
Yeah. It's totally a different life. But I think I always say that life body slammed me until I started to listen. I actually went to school for film and TV, and it was crazy how I even started working at MTV because I actually didn't get the job to begin with. And I always like to share the story of perseverance. And also when somebody says no, how you actually react to that is what actually builds your courage and your strength. And I went to school for film and I was so excited. I remember walking through Times Square and I would always say to myself, one day I'm going to work there. Back then when TRL was like a whole thing, you would see Justin Timberlake, Madonna.
Shout out to the 90s and the 2000s.
Oh my God, it was everything. And I remember when I applied, I got a response and it was like, nope, we only hire people who intern here. They were like so gatekeeping. And I was like, whoa, what the hell? Like, this is my dream job. And anyways, I ended up interviewing and yeah, and I got the job. I ended up working as a film producer for 13 years as a development director. And so, yeah, just worked my way up from being a production assistant, writing the shows, developing the shows to actually being the person that was walking into the networks with the ideas, with the concepts. So I was always a big visionary and big kind of can see the end goal, but I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big part of my awakening.
Well, I want to just pause you right there because
yeah.
Even when you were sharing, you grew up in New York,
yeah,
kind of going to and seeing the big screens in
yeah.
Times Square, wanting to work at MTV. I remember, you know, when Caduce was the big thing. Caduce yeah. has also been on the show as well.
Oh, beautiful.
And he's a great friend. Yeah. And we'll link his show in the show notes as yeah. well. So to have that, to have this dream and to have this vision and yeah. then ask and get denied
yeah.
to even work there. And
yeah.
then to go from that to
actually being there. And quick story, when I interviewed, it was me and another person we had to like interview somebody else and do this whole write-up just to see how good our writing skills were. So I went and I turned it in and I got the email. They're like, oh, we picked the other person. And I remember I was so disappointed because in my mind, I saw myself working there for years. And after about an hour of just sitting down, it was like my inner being was just like being so activated. And it's like, no, this job is yours. And so I wrote them a letter. It was super long and it was so destined to be because the next day this person called me and they said, I don't know what you did, but this other person that I hired didn't show up. And can you start? And that actually started my entire career at MTV, producing, directing, selling million-dollar shows, and just seeing the things that I produce on TV. But it was a lot, too. I feel like I sacrificed a lot. I thought that that was success for me, especially from the way I grew up. My parents literally fighting to come to this country. My dad being a political refugee from Cuba. And he came here when he was 18, like legit on the run in Cuba. And so like, even
really?
Now, like the things that are happening has like bubbled up so much within me because I'm like, man, I sit there and I talk to my dad and he tells me all the time how, you know, they burned down their church. They're very religious people. They had a farm. They lost their animals and they had to flee their country, you mm-hmm. know? And my mom too. My mom's the oldest of eight, which kind of was like, whoa, what the hell, grandma? Like, geez, okay. And they too, they had to leave their country to come here for that typical, like, I'm going to have kids and they're going to have a better life. And so needless to say, I worked my ass off. And that was my MO. Like, that was my whole thing. I have to work hard. And then I'm gay, so I have another strike. And now I'm brown, so like three strikes. It was like so many strikes. And so I naturally became one, a people pleaser, saying yes to everything, not having any boundaries, and literally overworking myself to the bone.
When did you finally say no to all of the external? Because I want to get into when you kind of shared your truest truth of telling people that you were gay.
Yeah.
And also, you know, breaking that to your family, because I know that was one. But before we get there, when did you start saying yes to yourself and no to everyone else?
Remember when I said life body slammed me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish there was an easier way, humans, but it's so interesting. I found myself in a marriage that wasn't making me happy. And I just bought a home. I had just bought the car that I always wanted. Like, I always saw myself, you know, having a BMW. And like, those were like big deals for me. I was like,
sure.
Yay, I'm married. I'm the second person in my family to buy a home. Like, I feel
wow.
so accomplished. And just understanding that I was drinking a lot of alcohol, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I was overdoing it, smoking cigarettes, like it was going out of style, just polluting my body, not happy, didn't feel good. Like, now I know, I've been meditating now for 7 years and I've also not drank for 7 years. And
wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Kudos to you. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah. I was on a mission.
Mm.
And I had one question and it was, how do humans become happy? I know that sounds really simple, but that was the question that just kind of kept coming back. First of all, how do you become happy, Melissa? Because I did all the things. And I know that it's so interesting now. Mm-hmm. We hear these stories so often, right? It's like we see so many people awakening and like taking the big leap. But at the time, that felt hard. I didn't know anybody who was doing something offbeat, who was doing something different. And I had to make a really hard choice. I had to heal from a relationship that wasn't working. I had to heal from infidelity. And I had to learn to be honest, which I think I had up to that point never been. I had just been the person who was surface. And I couldn't even look people in the eye. Like, I was always looking away, and it was me running away from myself.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to your podcast. I love when you ask people, like, what's the definition of being brave? You know, and I've been thinking about that a lot coming here. And there's so many things, right? But for me, being brave is not running away from myself. And that ultimately was the breaking point for me. Quitting the job, or rather getting fired.
Was it either or?
It was both.
It was both.
I went to Morocco. I got my yoga teacher training. Also a very defining moment. I remember feeling like, I'm just going to do something for myself. This marriage isn't working. I'm not happy. All of these things are happening. And a friend was like, you should come to this yoga teacher training I'm doing in Morocco. And there's so much fear. And now I understand, like, when I talk to people and it's so hard for them to take that first step, like, I know how hard it is, because I was that person who was like, no, I can't. I'm going to get fired. I can't, like, there's no way. In your mind, it's almost like you live in a prison. And so...
So it's easier to get fired than to actually quit the thing.
Yeah. And I always say that I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it. Like, spirit literally fired me. And I say that I quit because I got so many offers after. Being a development director in New York, it's a very unique job. There's only a handful of people who know how to write a show, sell a show at $1 million budget, have the relationships where I can walk into the networks and they know me. Bravo knows me, all of these different networks, they know me. They trust my work, and from a piece of paper, sell a complete show. That's not the easiest thing. And so I did get a lot of offers, and coming back to that place of like, this is not going to make me happy, and I can't. And so that's actually how the money code thing started to activate, because in that moment, I chose to be broke. I chose to not have a paycheck. I chose to come back from Morocco, not even wanting to teach yoga, but feeling like, okay, I have this thing, I have this piece of paper. I guess I'm going to do something with it, and not knowing that just being in the unfoldment of life, it was like I was being directed. You know, we always want the answer. We always want to know, like, how do I do the next thing? And it's like, God doesn't work like that. You know, sometimes, not to bring up the Bible, but maybe let's bring up the Bible, because it's so interesting. You know, when they say, like, Jesus walked on water, it's like, I kind of understand that concept now, because it was like, you had to have so much faith to know that a rock appeared, right? You know, and it's like, that's life too.
To have that much faith.
Have that much faith.
And to surrender that, you know, the world, the universe, God has your back in whatever way.
Exactly. Exactly.
And because what I'm hearing from you and your journey and your story is this, it's so fascinating, because here you work so hard to get this dream job. You get and you ride the top of this mountain.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I do not know how to say no.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to kind of get fired.
Yeah.
And my soul is going to be so happy. And so I did that. And then there's all these people, because you are a hot commodity in New York City, as this prime time, high level
development director,
executive director.
Yeah.
And so then you choose, even though you come from this background of, you know, refugee immigrant background. And then there is a money story, because I feel like for a lot of people, they may not have been taking your path.
Yeah.
And so what did you learn about yourself around money, or how did you reframe then your beliefs around money?
I laugh because I think this is so interesting, and I know this is going to land for somebody. Although I ended up having a six-figure career as a TV producer, I was always quite literally broke. Always. And I wasn't the only one. It was like a thing. It was like we all just spent all of our money, and then you just knew that another paycheck was going to come. And so I actually never saved money. I didn't actually knew what it felt like to hold the wealth. And so when I made that decision to just leave, I always say that my money codes got activated, because I had a certain amount of money in my bank, and I realized that it wasn't going down even though I wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And so something was happening and wasn't making sense.
Yeah.
But back to your question, everybody has a certain level of poverty consciousness, whether you have money mm-hmm. in the bank or you don't. This is a state of being. And that's actually what I learned. I moved into a tiny home. So of course, I also lived in a van for 7 months. We'll get to that. But my first step was, I just knew right away. Let me take an even other step back. The day I left my home, I wrote a letter to myself. And I asked myself, my highest self, I'm like, how are we going to get ourselves out of here? And from just this message that came through, I wrote down 10 things. And it was to travel the world. It was to find a teacher. It was to become a disciple and a student to my spirit and not my brain and not my ego. And it was like orders. It was like these divine orders. And for whatever reason, it was to let go of alcohol, anything that was polluting my body, and to downsize. So I moved in a tiny home. It was 480 square feet.
Whoa.
I lived in a tiny home. It was super cute. I loved it.
To be fair, in New York City, that's kind of standard.
That's kind of standard. But this was a specific communal tiny home living.
Okay.
It was like the cabinets were built in. Yeah, the fridge slid in right in this like nice little pocket. It was specifically for people who wanted to farm their own food, have that lifestyle with yoga. And it was really, really beautiful. And as I lived there, I realized that the one thing I needed to heal was this, I don't have enough. Mm-hmm. And this, I'm broke and I'm broken. And I started to realize that it wasn't just me. It's most people think like this too. And that's why this topic of money is so triggering for people, because we're still believing that it's something that we have to get outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I was just willing to use myself to sustain, teach yoga, teach mindfulness, teach the things that I had been learning. Learn from my teachers. I ended up going to India, Morocco, Thailand, like anywhere they went, I was just following them. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that question of like, how do people become happy? They were emanating that to me. And I couldn't figure it out. One of my teachers, you know, so interesting. She would ride around in her moto with her surfboard in the back and her back. And I never understood, like, how does this lady, one, travel like this? And where are all your stuff? But mm-hmm. we learn through example. And the more I kept being around her, the more I realized there's such an illusion around money.
Hmm.
There is such an illusion around money. And that actually opened up the Pandora's box. And I realized, no, this is something that when I feel so rich within myself, when I feel like I'm waking up every day and feel connected to my vessel and connected to God, I feel the energy, a full cup. Hmm. And from that place, miracles started happening.
Wow. Can you share some examples?
Yeah. My friend passed away, Jim. Rest mm-hmm. in peace. I love him so much. I met him in my building. He was an older man.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget, all I had is time. You know, when you don't have a job, all you have is time. By the way, this was a year of not working.
Of not working. Right.
So when I tell you, like, I went through an initiation, I mean, I remember there was 3 months of my body actually trembling. I call it like the trauma trembles. And that can happen to anybody, because for me, money was linked to safetiness. And for a lot of people, my brain couldn't comprehend how will we survive?
Mm.
But I kept riding that wave. I'm just like, no, there's something bigger. Like, I'm supposed to be here living in this little tiny home, teaching yoga now in this building. Like, something's, I just knew something was going to happen. So all I had was time, and I would put my bikini on every day. There was a pool and I would lay by the pool, and I met this beautiful friend, and he came to me. He said, what are you doing? I was like drawing in my book. And I said to him, I'm going to become a millionaire. And I'm going to start a business, and I'm just never going to allow anybody to fire me. And I'm going to figure it out. And I love this meditation and this yoga thing. And he's like, you're really good at it. Like, all of my classes were getting packed. I mean, 30, 40 students were coming. I created my first event. 70 people came. I had no social media presence. And just like really dropping in and channeling and connecting. New York One came. Like, when you are in your purpose, it doesn't fucking make sense. So what's the miracle? I was sitting next to this guy. He said to me, I run the department at SUNY Empire, this college. I would love for you to come in and welcome in the freshmen and maybe do some yoga and meditation. Do the things that you teach us here. Because remember, this is like a communal place. We were meeting up to like cook food together, farm together, all of these things. And I was like, sure. He goes, okay, great. Well, you're going to do this in 3 weeks. I was like, whoa, 3 weeks? He's like, yeah. And I'm going to pay you $4,000.
What?
I was like, okay, nobody's ever paid me $4,000. And I had to work all month long as a TV producer. And by the way, no shade to the TV industry, but just a little bit of shade. Like working 12 hours is not normal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like waking up on set is not normal. And that was my whole life. My whole life was like, if you're not booked, you stay there. Call the states where it's a little earlier. You have to get booked. We have to fly people into the studio because I worked on a talk show where we had to get booked every single week. Wow. And so I lived in a state of panic. Needless to say, I lived in a state of panic in just that high performance.
Wow. So this guy gave you this ticket.
Yeah.
He believed in you.
Yeah. Not only did he believe in me, but I think it was just a message from the universe. To me, that's like now looking back, I'm like, wow, the universe was guiding me the whole time. And I was in such a place of the deepest surrender ever. I think a lot of people fancy surrender.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to surrender. But I was just no longer willing to live the life that I was living. Like I really told myself, like, I'd rather be poor and broke and I don't care as long as I'm in my bikini and happy and like teaching these things that I like. I'm completely fine. I cried a lot. I moved through a lot. I know I was healing a lot. Through that, I discovered parts work, which I didn't even know I was doing. But I was actually going into my system because all I had was time. I wasn't hanging out with any of my friends because they wanted to drink and smoke. And I had these clear orders that I wasn't going to do it for a certain time. I said I wasn't going to do it for 90 days. 90 days became 3 months, 5 months. I'm meditating now for 3 hours a day. I'm like, I'm doing all of this stuff. Nobody's paying me to do this. Nobody's asking me to do this. But actually, my spirit was asking me to do it. Yeah. I think that was my homework. It was like my soul assignment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sensing that you had this huge initiation for your own soul awakening and your own soul assignment that was kind of the MBA for your soul.
Yeah.
For the first time, my long-awaited three-day retreat is finally here. Imagine pouring into yourself as you deserve in a special oasis so that you feel so nourished over the course of 3 days of expansion, rejuvenation, and soul nurturing time. Step away from your day-to-day hustle and chaos and step into a portal to strengthen your inner light with me on the grounds of Boone, North Carolina, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar's Art of Living Center, April 26th through the 28th. There's still shared rooms available. Don't wait. Say yes to you today. Now, back to the show.
And then allowing you to meet the next, you know, chapter of your life, starting out with this incredible person.
Yeah.
Who then started to give you this next edge up. So from there, what did you then start to see and notice?
Yeah. Is there such a thing as synchronicity? You know? I always think about that, or Abraham Hicks says, they're just cooperating parts, right? Mm-hmm. They're just parts that are cooperating together, and we see it as such a miracle. But actually, well, I'm going to go a little left because I'm getting some messages, but we're not supposed to get sick. When you're in alignment, your body is a machine. Everything is supposed to be working, and it's the same thing with your life. So that's what I started to see. It was like one thing happened, and then all of a sudden, I was on this path where things quite literally felt easy. And things started to align. I started to get invited into things. I started to show up in spaces where I would just be like, who are these people? Okay. And like, let's hang out. And it was so interesting. One student asked me to run a retreat. They said, it would be so nice if you like ran a retreat. And I was like, okay. So then I just did it. No thought, no like, I need to make the perfect retreat. Just like, well, okay, let's do it. I did a retreat. It was sold out. Let's do it again. And again. And again. It was like 5 times later. And I'm like, what? then one of my students ended up moving and she said to me, oh, I'm going to miss your yoga and your, you know, meditation, your teaching. Because I started channeling through the yoga. Mm-hmm. So I was having them sit in poses and bringing through messages. And she said, can you record it for me? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I've never done that. And I'm a Sagittarius. I have 5 placements in that house. And I'm like, challenge, give it to me. Live in a van? Okay.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Well, and I love your zest for life. And I think, you know, there is something to be said around, you know, you actually saying yes.
Yeah.
And you saying yes to life, but also being able to also do the shadow work, do the parts work.
Yeah.
And I can only guess that this is now some of the foundational work that you do with your own clients and students.
Yeah. Not only is it foundational, it's required. I teach business, but I always tell people, if that's what you see, then you're not understanding what I'm teaching you.
Hmm.
Your purpose work comes out in many different things. It could be scrubbing a toilet. It could be, you know, teaching business. It could be podcasting. It doesn't matter. It's not the end goal. It's how you do it. It's how you spend time with people. And so the parts work started to come through as I started to heal these energetic parts within me through meditation. I remember one day I was meditating, not to feel any bliss, but to be in my grief. And I started to connect to this part that felt so unlovable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is this? I don't have this in me. Like, I'm a pretty, like, I know I'm going through a lot of shit right now, but like, I'm a pretty happy person. I'm very optimistic. And I started realizing, oh, it's my mom's stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was so heavy. And my mom grew up suffering from postpartum and having depression, abandonment, you know, her taking care of her siblings from a very young age. Her mom left Ecuador and came here, and she carries a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the women in my family carry a lot. There are a lot of witchy, magical beings too.
And you've now inherited that.
Huh? I know. They passed it down to me. I've always been around it. As a kid, we used to do cleanses and they would put us in a room and have us sitting in a chair in our little underwear and be melting us with honey and prayer. And yeah, they had their rituals of protecting us, but yeah. I never gravitated to that because I was just like, these crazy witchy Spanish people, I don't know, this is just what they do. And I always felt a little disconnect also from my culture because I also identified American. Mm. So I'm like, I'm American. I have my American friends. Like, you Spanish people continue to live with each other. I'm not going to do that. The minute I'm 16, 17, I'm out. Mm. You know, and that was my whole process of also coming out as a lesbian, leaving my home. The minute I graduated high school, I was about 16, never wanting to go back. Moving to New York, like I've just always been somebody who's been figuring it out.
Mm.
And
so you left at 16.
Yeah.
When you knew you were lesbian.
I came out when I was a lesbian when I was about 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
I was a young girl.
You were young.
I was young.
What was that like to tell your immigrant parents?
It was that horrible.
And did you actually share it? Or
yeah,
did they
found out.
Okay.
They found out and I lived in a small town. Right next to Hoboken, and so it's 47 blocks, Union City, New Jersey. Oh, what a town.
Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey. But I came out when I was a young girl. And I think that was a part of it because we grew up religious. And so that's actually how I found God again, because I was taught that if I was gay, I was wrong, mm-hmm. and that I was going to hell, only to find out there is no such thing as hell. You make up hell in your mind.
Mm.
This is not real. This is not true from what my guides told me. And but when I was young, I struggled so much because it doesn't matter. You know, I'm a little girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just know that I'm wrong and I feel wrong. I feel disconnected from my body. I couldn't look at people because I'm like, oh my God, if they know that I'm this person, like they're going to think I'm ugly or disgusting or they're not going to be accepting or I can only tell certain people. And so that was really difficult. They say that nobody was gay ever, but I find that very hard to believe. There's always gay people everywhere from the beginning mm-hmm. of time. They probably just didn't feel safe to come out.
And how did you heal that time of life to now have a beautiful relationship
yeah.
with your wife?
Yeah.
And now with your family.
Yeah, it took a long time. And I don't recommend this for everybody, but I took time away from my family. And yeah, I remember one time I didn't speak to my own mom for almost a year. That had been like 9 months. And I think that's very normal when you're healing too, because it's like our home where we were brought up is where the triggers live. And so I just had to learn how to be on my own, how to separate, really understand like what are my thoughts, what are my real beliefs without the pressure of you're wrong. Oh my God. Posting on social media for Hispanic people, they don't like that. They're like, you're telling everybody your business. And so
it's the same with Asians. They're like, why are you telling everybody everything? You keep it under a rug.
Keep it under the rug.
Yeah.
And so then when they found out, they're like, okay, don't tell anybody. Shh. And actually, I grew up where they knew, but like my girlfriend would pick me up in the corner because my mom cared so much about what my neighbor would say. Than my own feelings. And that's why, again, like all of these journeys, and I look at the upbringing and I look at all of my initiations as an invitation to remember that my guides were always guiding me, that they were always showing me to pick myself. They were showing me that the opinion of me is more important than the opinion of anybody else, even your own mother, even your own father, even the opinion of anybody else. And that added on. It was the compound effect. But by the time I quit being a TV producer, I got a divorce, I started to find different teachers and move around the entire world and be in different cultures and be immersed, I was not willing to live that life anymore. I was not willing to hide. I was not willing to do things that I didn't really want to do, like that job or the marriage. And I just was unwilling to put another mask on.
Yeah,
which I didn't even know I had on.
And it's so interesting because I think that when, you know, you and I both come from, you know, trauma-filled backgrounds, like we've been through it.
Yeah.
I was also on Melissa's podcast not too long ago.
Yes.
But I think there's something magical about what you've been able to alchemize. And what would you say? I know that we're getting into our igniting round and coming to a close, but what would you say your advice would be to now everything that you've learned, everything that you've been able to alchemize to that young Melissa at 14?
Ooh, it just came up so quickly and it's so simple, but it's that it gets better. You know, I think when we're moving through turbulent times, it always feels like a death. It always feels like you're never going to be able to get over this. And I think that's why people are stuck. That's why people don't actually make the decisions. That's why they don't leave their jobs. That's why they don't leave their marriage. They can't. They're in so much shame. The thought of picking themselves is too big for them. They'd rather stay exactly where they are. So to my younger self, I would say that it gets better and it continues to get better. The more you keep following your own light, your own intuition, you keep trusting yourself and you keep asking yourself in each moment, are you happy now? And that will still forever be my question. Even with my wife now, I'm remarried. And I always tell her too, it's like, let's just keep communicating every year and you just let me know if you're happy. And I'll just keep communicating with you and I'll keep letting you know if I'm happy. And if ever you're not happy, please tell me. And if I'm not happy, I'll tell you. And I do the same thing with my job, my business, my work. It's literally not even a job. It's like my job became my work and my work is my job. I get paid to just do my work, which is so beautiful. But every single day I wake up, I do the same thing. I connect to my breath. I meditate. I look outside of the window and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this again. And do you want to? Like, do you want to do this again? Like, do you want to talk to people? Do you want to be on Zoom? Do you want to create content? Like, do you still want to do this? Mm-hmm. Is this making you happy? And I think for me, ultimately, I'm not willing to sacrifice my peace anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like you are so grounded in your truth and it's so admirable. It's so admirable to see. And before we close out, well, first of all, where can people find you and get so much more access to you? Because if they are listening to this, I'm sure they've just fallen in love with your spirit, your zest for life, your joie de vivre.
Yes. Yes.
How can they work with you?
Yes. First, I want to just address what you said with the zest of life. I've been coming to earth a lot. And I've done this game before. And so I get it. And I feel like maybe somebody listening may feel like that too, you know? sometimes when life is difficult for us, it's just because we just came from up there and everything is so perfect, you know? So being here is so dense and it's so heavy and we forget and we're like, fuck, people don't trust themselves in this planet. Like people are just disconnected. It can feel quite like, I want to go home. Like, why are these people acting like this? But I've now realized that I've been coming here and just doing this thing over and over and over. Hence why in this one life, I've seen myself become multiple people. I was a WNBA cheerleader for the New York Liberty in Madison Square Garden for 5 years. Like, I forget that I was that person. Mm-hmm. I was somebody who also was married to somebody who was in the military, replaying my mom's story because my dad's in the military. It was like all of these things now from the highest perspective, I can connect. So anyways, humans, if you like the way I kind of rant off on this, you can find me at I am Melissa Ruiz on Instagram. That's where I hang out the most. My DMs are always open. I love to connect with my community. I'm very active. Obviously, my website, same thing. I am MelissaRuiz.com. You can see I have some freebies up there, some retreats, different offerings. But those, I would say, the main two ways people can find me.
Amazing. All right. And before we wrap up, you've just been a gem, love. And this is so much fun. So much fun.
Yes.
So how do you define your morning practices and what is elevating you right now in this season and stage of life?
Yeah.
As someone who is newly married.
Rituals, practices.
Rituals, practices.
Yeah.
Things that elevate you.
Two things. One, meditation. I'm an avid meditator. I don't know if this is going to sound nasty, but you should not be raw dogging life, okay? And so the cheat code is meditation. No, like seriously, it's like you got to put in that protection. So mindfulness, meditation, that's something that
I do. How long do you usually
15
do?
Minutes.
Okay.
People are always surprised when I tell them.
Because you said 3 hours before.
That was when I was moving through the grief and I was, you know, a year call. I call that my sabbatical of my MBA.
Your soul MBA.
Now I'm just maintaining. But best believe when I go through shit, like, yes, we start meditating twice a day. The meditations get a little bit longer, but 15 minutes a day. If you can do 5 minutes, start with five, end up going to 10. Hopefully, you know, 15 to 20 minutes is all you need. I journal. The mornings are mine. Even though I'm a seven-figure business owner now, I don't talk to people before 12. That's my time.
You don't talk to people before 12?
No, I don't talk to people before 12. Mm-hmm. The only people I talk to is my team, but I will not take on calls. I have clients that pay $30,000, $40,000. It's like after 12. The morning is mine. They're mine. It's sacred. It's my time. I want to make my green juice. I want to go work out with my trainer. I want to go to yoga. I want to walk my dog. I want to lay on the floor. I want to look at the tree. I can't sacrifice my peace. You know, everything comes down to that. And so that's what my morning looks like. I know my students are always like, Melissa, I can't do that. I'm like, just do what you can. Do what you can. But to me, that's my non-negotiable. Yeah.
And one word that describes this season of life.
Woo! Expansion. Expansion. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a place right now where I've done a lot of this work almost like in hiding, working with a lot of students and doing all the things that I'm doing now. But now I feel like I'm doing it more publicly. Now I feel like I'm coming onto the podcast. I'm opening myself up to things. It's very easy for me to stay home. Mm. It's very easy for me to just stay home and to be and to take a trip into another country. So I'm expanding. I'm expanding my visibility. I'm expanding my channel. And I'm getting out there in a very intentional way where I never had that desire before.
Well, we're going to have you back because you
We need a part two. There's so much.
We so need a part two. And I feel like you are just kind of entering this new era. And I'm so excited to see where you go with everything.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being here, love.
This was amazing. Thank you so much. Part two coming soon.
Yes. Until next time on The Brave Table. All right, fam. Wow, wow, wow. Does not even cut it with Melissa Ruiz. If you are just wow, if you are ready to just start diving into your own practices that make you come alive, or if you are curious to connect with Melissa Ruiz, I will share her best way to connect on IG, which is run to IG and follow her at I am Melissa Ruiz. That's R-U-I-Z. You can also go ahead to click on her freebie bundle that she has, and it is also linked in the show notes. And you can go to IamMelissaRuiz.com/the-evolution. I'm just buzzing by our episode together. And I think that's kind of the spark that sometimes we all need to just reevaluate things in our life, reevaluate our relationships, reevaluate, and maybe even celebrate how far we've come, as she has been able to do in this episode. Well, if you love this, fam, if this can be of any support, go ahead, share it with a friend, share it with a bestie, share it with a family member, a colleague, a work colleague, somebody that you'd love to be just a little bit more brave. And if you haven't written a 5-star review on iTunes, what are you waiting for? It will help the community grow so much and get this into the hands of more and more people that need to be just a little bit more brave. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead over to iTunes, take 2 minutes and give us a 5-star review. Share all of the juicy bits of how this has helped you in your life. And when you do, we have something special for you. Go ahead and screenshot it and send it to support@globalgrit.co. Screenshot that review to support@globalgrit.co, and we will send you a free gift. Thank you so, so much for tuning in week after week. We love you, and we love that you are growing our community. And don't forget to be just a little bit more brave. I will see you next time. Have a great day, a great week. I will see you soon.